Every now and then, something powerful emerges in health and wellness that just can't be overlooked because of its promise. Could peptides be the wave of the future for reducing inflammation, healing gut disorders, and improving mitochondrial function so that you feel better, younger, and more alive? If you want to understand what peptides are and what they help with, keep listening. Welcome to the Holly Perkins Health Podcast. If you're a woman over the age of 35 and have health, fitness, or nutrition questions for your body, you're in the right place. I'm Holly Perkins, a women's strength and nutrition expert with over 30 years of experience, helping thousands of women transform their bodies to be stronger, more resilient, and more energetic, inside and out. Every week, you'll walk away with a real plan for improving your body composition so you can feel better now, reduce inflammation, and create lasting health. So, if you're ready to create the body that you need to keep up with the life that you love, let's dive in. Hello, and thank you for being here. If you are new, welcome. I'm Holly Perkins, and I help you use strength training and very strategic nutrition to improve your body composition so that you are at least 70% lean muscle mass, so that you can reduce your risk of disease, stay in the game of life, and enjoy all of the years ahead. And this conversation is a powerful one. If you're struggling with fatigue, autoimmune symptoms, or building muscle despite regular weekly strength sessions, you probably could use some help around here already, right? While I do believe there is so much that you can do to become stronger, healthier, and leaner than ever, I also believe that there is a time and a place for assistance. If you feel that you are doing everything and nothing is working, and you truly know that you are absolutely doing everything right, this conversation will be interesting to you. In this episode, you'll learn what peptides are, the health symptoms that are being addressed with peptides, some of the common and popular formulas, and if you should consider peptide therapy. I believe that sometimes on your journey to becoming your best, strongest, healthiest version, you might need some additional support beyond what nutrition and lifestyle can offer. And don't get me wrong, I truly believe 100% that strength training and nutrition alone hold the power to radically transform your health and your body. And sometimes some people might just need a little bit of help. I know there was a time in my life when I did. So today I'm speaking with my good friend, Stephanie Gambetta from The Loop Way. Stephanie's own journey with peptides started after an injury really set her back, where she struggled to get back on her feet at 100%. And peptides helped her heal faster and improve other aspects of her health so that she could look and feel better than ever. And because of her personal journey, Stephanie knew that she wanted to help other women explore the benefits of peptides because she believes that wellness is all about feeling healthy and vibrant from the inside out, energized, confident, and living life to the fullest. Personally, I am fascinated by peptides, and I hope you enjoy this conversation. Oh my gosh, Stephanie, I am so excited to have this conversation with you. I think this is such an emerging conversation. It's certainly brand new to my community. Behind the scenes, as you know, you and I have been talking about this, but I'm so excited to introduce you to my community, have this conversation, and just really get into all of the nuances, but all of the misunderstandings and interests around peptides. So tell us a little bit about your story, where you're from, how you got involved with peptide therapy, and all the good stuff.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for having me, Holly. I'm so excited. We met and just like hit it off in like 1 second. Like, you're my sister. I'm another mister. I don't know how you say it, but you're my sister. It was great. So I'm honored to be here. I'm really excited to talk to your community, as well as I'm excited when you come into my community, and that's what this is all about. But quickly to my story. So 2 years ago, coming up actually, in about 2 weeks, I tore my ACL and my meniscus, and I'm a very active human being. So if anyone knows what that entails, is when you tear just your ACL, you'll have your surgery. It's a long recovery, but about 2 days after your surgery, you're off your crutches in your physical therapy. It's a long road, but you're off your crutches. When you tear your meniscus at the same time and have to have surgery, you are on crutches for a month. Non-weight bearing for a month, followed by peg leg. I mean, I'm not going to get into it. It was hard mentally, physically, all the things. And I knew what I was up against, and I rehabbed it like I was a professional athlete, and I had a really good mindset about it, really good mindset about it. But with a lot of things, what sometimes starts out as a tragedy or why me in your own mind turns into your biggest blessing. And so hands down, my knee injury was the biggest pivot and blessing, one of the biggest pivots and blessing in my life. And I've always been a person who's been open to alternative healing and whatnot. And I've been hearing about peptides. This was 2 years ago. And I thought, you know, this is probably a really good time to understand how they can help me in my healing process. And so I found someone who knew a lot about them, and he introduced me to BPC-157 and TB-500. And these are two amazing healing peptides. I started on them. I started on the protocol, and all of a sudden, Holly, all this midlife inflammation left my body. Like literally, I call it like 10 pounds of bullshit, but it was just all of a sudden, it was like, wow, what's happening? And I'm feeling so good. And my brain started feeling good. And my gut started feeling so good. I'm like, what are these little peptides? And so I went down a rabbit hole and podcasts and listen, researching, and realized no one is really truly educating us on what a peptide is. And there's so many misconceived notions of what peptides are, which I'm sure we'll talk about today, and as well as how many really peptides there are. And so I kind of decided where I think a lot of great brands and businesses come out of, like, it's out of a need. And I thought, well, I should hire smarter doctors and nurses and people than me, and I'm going to go and get really educated in certifications and learn all about these peptides, and let's create an educational platform where people feel safe, they can ask the questions, they understand the dosaging, they know kind of what their plan will be like, and then we provide a safe place for them to purchase them, because you need to make sure they're pure and clean and that they are going to be working for you with no contraindication. So a safe place to be curious and get educated is kind of where I like to land.
It's really huge. So knowing what I know the world knows and doesn't know, let's start for the newbie. Let's talk about exactly what a peptide is and its relationship to the buzzwords of GLP-1 agonists that we're hearing a lot about. Let's just start there so that people understand the conversation we're having.
Well, I want to start real quickly before I describe what a peptide is. Most people don't know that insulin is a peptide, which saves many lives and came onto the market in 1921. So peptides are not new. I want everyone to know that. Russia has been using them for hundreds of years, long, long, long time. So peptides aren't new. They're the buzz right now. They are the buzz because of these GLP agonists. And that's a whole other story we'll get into. But what a peptide is, it's just an amino acid chain put together. So that's simply what it is. And is it made in the lab? It is. But just like your vitamin D that you take, that's made in a lab. Just like an antibiotic or thyroid medicine, that's made in a lab. Unless you're getting it from nature, we are putting it together. The nice thing about peptides is they're bioidentical in the sense that your body recognizes the amino acid chain because it's already in your body. So it's not like you're putting something in where it's going like, oh, I'm going to do the work that my thyroid should be doing. No, no, no. It wakes up a piece of your body, depending on what the peptide for. It goes in and says, I'm going to hit this transmitter, I'm going to work with this area, and I'm going to get your body to start firing and working again. And that's a beautiful piece of this. It's not anti-aging. I don't really like to use that buzzword. It's waking your body up again. So as we're aging, everything gets harder, right? We have zombie cells, sick cells, and perimenopause, premenopause, all this stuff, right? Peptides go in and really work with certain receptors. And I feel like that's what people don't understand is, yes, it's a little scary because you inject something. However, your body recognizes it. So it's not treating a symptom. It's treating a root cause, and your body knows what to do with the support.
Yeah, so well said. And for me to say it a hair differently, your body already produces somewhere around 7,000 peptides. And what emerging research is showing us is even with those 7,000 peptides that everyone's body already produces, when there's an insufficiency, the human body will also reorganize the peptides that you have. And so now we suspect there might be as many as 20,000 peptides in the human body. So yes, we are talking about...
people are saying you're born with 200,000 peptides. I mean, it's just...
Absolutely.
We're learning more and more about it, but you're absolutely right. And as we age, they're getting less and less, and they're actually not working as well. And so I think that's where, when you are supporting them, including a GLP, you already have GLP in your body. If we want to just right jump into it, we all have GLP in our body. Now, when you eat food, your body secretes natural GLP, one, and it will last about 1 minute and then it goes. So if you can imagine when you are putting in a synthetic GLP, it's more of it, so it lasts longer. That's really the only difference. Now, how much you put in is something else, but yes.
Yeah, exactly. And the dosing and so forth. So talk to us about how there are a number of GLPs and GLP-1s and et cetera. I'll let you cover that. And they are peptides, but there are also all of these other peptides that a person can use supplementally to address different body system insufficiencies or even failures to some degree. So let's talk about that, because I know, you know, this GLP-1 conversation is so pervasive. And even if someone's not paying attention, they've already kind of come to understand that it's a thing. And what I really want to like land on for people is like, that's just like the tip of the iceberg in terms of peptides. So talk to us about like what different peptides do and what symptoms or health issues could a person be choosing peptides for?
You know, I love to say people usually come in for the vanity, right? So they're curious. They come in for the GLP curiosity. They come in for the GHKCU, hair, skin, nails, all the vanity stuff. And I say, and then they stay for the mitochondria and they stay for the brain and they stay for the gut. So I'm going to address kind of the first questions just about the GLPs. And I'm going to kind of go pretty quickly because I do think they're probably the least interesting piece of this conversation. They've evolved so much in the last couple of years. Now, GLPs as well, they've been evolved. Doctors have been using them for over 20 years. GLPs are not new. Now, what is new is when you saw Ozempic and semaglutide, that's been used for a long time. It is a really hard peptide to work with. And if you don't know how to use it well, you can be very sick. It can be dangerous. And it's why you saw a lot of emaciated people. We've moved on. We've got two other peptides that are coming. One's in the market. One's about to come out with the FDA approval. And, you know, tirzepatide has two agonists. So you have the GIP and GLP. The GIP works a lot more with your insulin resistance, works with your brain. At a microdose is very powerful. We've seen a lot of our clients get off SSRs because they're on a microdose. Lyme patients work with it to help them inflammation in the brain and the body. You're hearing people getting off of medications that they've been on for their thyroid. So there's a lot more studies going on at a smaller dose, all these other benefits of the inflammation leaving your body and your brain. And so I think that's what's exciting about these pieces of the GLP. Now, when paired with other peptides or not using a GLP and using other peptides, we can get your body inflammation down naturally and easy. And you'll realize we know in midlife, that is what we're fighting against every single day, is the inflammation in our body from our habits, from our environment, and just from pure aging.
Yeah, absolutely. And so specifically, were you going to mention retatrutide when you said the new one that's coming out?
Yeah. And you know, and then you've got retatrutide. To me, retatrutide is an amazing peptide. It has one more agonist and it's the glucagon receptor. What people need to understand, and I'll explain what that is that it's like the iPhone. It's like, yeah. Is it an upgrade better? But you might, the other iPhone might work better for you for certain reasons. Maybe you navigate it better. Tirzepatide is an amazing product. If you do need to lose a lot of weight, I would say it's much better than going on retatrutide. I love retatrutide, but because you're bringing another agonist, you have less GLP, less GIP. It takes longer, 5 weeks to really, really kick in. You have the fat burner, but it's much slower and lower. You can stand it a lot longer, but there's a lot less that we know about it. So I actually I tread lightly on it.
It's really powerful what's out ahead of us in terms of what some of these peptides can do. So beyond weight loss, Talk to me about some of your favorite peptides that you see many people moving towards, whether it's BPC-157 or TB-500 or the combination stack or whatever it may be. I'd love to hear your favorites in terms of what you see helping people the most beyond weight loss.
Oh, I love this question. This is where I get like really nerdy on it all. Outside of BPC, which just stands for Body Protective Compound, one of the reasons I love BPC is it's such a great intro peptide. There's really no side effects, except you feel good. Your joints ache less, you get out of bed, you feel better, you can recover faster from your workouts. Any nagging injury all of a sudden feels better because there's less inflammation in that area. And it's derived from your gastric stomach juice. So your gut starts to feel a lot better. So I just think it's one of those peptides most people, once they get on, they stay on. So you'll have to do 3 months on, 1 month off, but it's always in their rotation. It's kind of like your best friend. I love that peptide. On the same note, KPV is an amazing peptide for your gut. And I think many people know this, but if you don't, you know, there's a direct correlation between your gut and your brain and just your overall health. And I feel like sometimes we skip that part and really go right into people wanting to lose weight and body composition changing. If your gut is out of whack and really unhappy, you're going to have a really hard time losing weight. And so I oftentimes direct people like, hey, let's just focus on getting your gut healed first. And then another one that, you know, thymosin alpha, that's your immune system. And your immune system is amazing in the sense that it can be underpowered, right? So you're getting sick often, or it's working too hard and you have an autoimmune disease. And so working with your immunity is a place I really like to start with, also saying, let's just get that in check and let's get you a peptide that can really support you so you can find homeostasis. So if you want to do something else, a different peptide, a GLP, whatnot, your body's already really feeling good and is humming the way it's supposed to hum. So if you do something, it really just makes everything work. And a lot of people find they don't even need to go on a GLP after getting the inflammation down and getting their gut checked, which is great.
What would be a common stack with BPC-157 for gut health and or autoimmunity issues?
That's a really good question. BPC, if you're an autoimmune, what I just said, those three things, I believe BPC, KPV, and thymosin alpha. Those three are, I think, amazing for your inflammation, for your gut, and any autoimmune stuff you have. So those are my three for sure.
That's amazing. Tell us about the Loopway. Tell us about your services and how you started with what you're doing and what you guys offer, because I know that people really are looking for resources to learn more and understand peptides, but then also someone to consult with or learn more to determine if it's right for them. I know, you know, peptides can be expensive, and I think people should really educate themselves about it if they really need it. And so tell us about the Loopway.
Oh my gosh, thank you. It's my baby. It keeps evolving, which is what I'm loving the most as we're seeing what our clients want, what the community wants. I speak at a lot of homes with a lot of women, and it's really interesting to see the vulnerability, you know, the questions, the vulnerability. They're scared, they're confused, right? But they're curious. And so I think it's the best place to come when somebody's curious. And so what we try to do is we have a whole peptide library. If you don't even want to do coaching, you can just get on the loopway.com and go to the resources page and start reading about peptides and then go to the library. Oh my God, look how many they are. Go to my podcast and start listening. I just tell them, start with being curious and open-minded. And then your next step is if you wanted to book a call, we have 15-minute free calls. We have 30-minute calls, which are really affordable. And then we have calls with our doctors that look at blood work. And then with me, who's your coach. And so if you hire me as your coach, we're doing everything from like looking at your goals, putting together stacks, talking about your lifestyle, because a peptide isn't a magic bullet. A peptide really works the best when you're doing all the other things, the things, Holly, that you talk about with your community that are so important. That is the groundwork that has to be there if you're getting on a peptide. And oftentimes you'll see people thinking, oh, I can just take this and I don't have to do all the other things. Absolutely not. You're wasting your money. And it's actually even more important to double down on your nutrition, your recovery, your weightlifting, all the things that you talk about. That is the foundation for a peptide to be used with.
Yeah. In my community, women are particularly interested in improving their body composition, strength training to improve lean muscle mass, along the way. A lot of women do want to release body fat, but as you know, I come at it from the conversation of let's build muscle in order to then take care of the body fat. So when we look at peptides, if we assume someone is on their A game, doing their progressive resistance strength training as they should be, eating responsibly as they should be, how could peptides help a woman in the process, whether it be recovery from strength training or to supplement nutrition? How would they kind of fill the holes, provided we've got someone who is doing their work on their end?
So I start off with their goals, right? So let's just like assume their goal is to shed some body fat, lose some inflammation, and reap the benefits of all the hard work. And so I'd kind of start there. And similar, we talked before, I put someone on BPC in 2 seconds. But there's other peptides which are really interesting, and they help on the recovery side. And so that is a very important piece to have muscle growth, right? You need to have the proper recovery, not only just sleeping, but also like how is your body recovering from your workout? If you're not recovering because you're stressing your body out, there's no way you're going to have gains. And so we have peptides that also help your body release its own natural growth hormone. And so a lot of women love this because that gets really hard as we get older. And it's just, it's not putting it in a growth hormone into your body. It's telling your pituitary gland, hey, let's just do a small pump of growth hormone. And it's at night. So you take this peptide in the evening, you sleep amazing on them. And you find that all of a sudden it's a little bit easier to put on muscle because your body is utilizing its own natural growth hormone while you're sleeping.
And for the woman who is in midlife, maybe on the cusp of menopause or fully in menopause, how can peptides help in that process as well, alongside of strength training and nutrition?
Well, I think the biggest thing too that we deal with is insulin resistance. As we get older, we become more insulin resistant. And that's really where a microdose of a GLP, or we have a product called Sloop, which also kind of helps you with your insulin resistance a little bit. It's actually a pill form. So I really feel like when you're in your midlife, it's the insulin resistance that's making your life really difficult because your body's spending so much energy trying to regulate your blood sugar levels. Now, lifting definitely helps with this, but you're still fighting a natural uphill battle with your body. And so having support either through a really microdose of a GLP, or you know, you can get a little bit with the BPC, but it's really having that blood sugar and your ability to process it all in check that really helps. That's what I found.
So you may have noticed that Stephanie and I don't talk a lot about body weight. And that's because she and I both believe that there's more to life than the number on the scale. And let's be honest, it's crazy how the number on the bathroom scale can ruin your day. And that's exactly why I stopped focusing on body weight a while back, and I started putting my energy into reshaping and rebuilding and rediscovering my body's true potential. Creatone by Brickhouse Nutrition was created by doctors specifically for women. Creatone helps me look more toned and defined and sculpted and get more out of my workouts without having to put more effort into diet and exercise. It gives me an edge. Creatone is radically different from the typical guy's creatine. It's designed for women with pure creatine and patented ingredients that help to reshape your body so that you look leaner, trimmer, and more toned without water retention and without the weight gain. So there's no bulking up except for the real muscle that you're building. And it helps to boost metabolism and help you burn fat. Break up with your bathroom scale just like I did and watch how fast Creatone can help you look leaner, feel toned, look more sculpted, and perform better in your workouts. If that sounds good to you, you can get 20% off your first order. Simply visit tonetoday.com and use my code HollyP for your 20% discount. Again, use my code HollyP to save 20% at tonetoday.com. Any peptides in particular to help optimize hormones in general, whether a woman is premenopausal or post?
We have Kispessinger, and it's a new one, and it really does support your natural hormones, either for people trying to get pregnant or for perimenopausal women. But I always say, peptides are BB guns, and HRT is a machine gun. And you really need to work on them separately. This is what I believe. Not everyone believes in hormone replacement therapy, so I'm not saying if you don't believe in it, you can't do peptides. Peptides just work much better when your hormones are supported more. And so peptides are not going to be a replacement for that, but it can support somebody who's already on it.
I love it. What are the biggest issues you see women coming to you to address?
Inflammation and just not feeling good about themselves. And it's the, you hear, I mean, you're sure you hear this too sometimes, I'm doing all the things now and nothing's working, right? And we've been taught more is better. More is better. Okay. Well, if it's not working, then I have to run more. I have to lift more. I have to eat less. And so where I come into play, and you and I know vibe on this, is, you know, teaching women they have to eat food, real food, what types of food. And especially if you are on a GLP, it's that much more important to make sure you are getting enough protein and nutrients. And I think sometimes if we grew up in the diet culture of the 80s and the fat-free and the cardio and all that stuff, it gets really, really confusing when that stuff's not working. And then also when I'm telling you, hey, I want you to do less cardio and I want you to eat more food. And so how do I reverse diet? So we work a lot too, is like, if you can hold my hand and trust me, like just trust me, let's get your body to work again for you. And that's where I feel between peptides and the coaching and the pillars of health is we just want our body working for us again, not against us.
Yeah. And it can be kind of a confusing territory, I think, for women because so many women feel terrible a lot of times. Do you experience that?
And that's the craziest thing. So we also, NAD is something that we actually also provide. Ours is fermented and it's not synthetic, which means it has a longer half-life in your body. And most all women who go on an NAD, which is working with your mitochondria, all of a sudden go, oh my gosh, I have so much energy. Like men, and men are kind of like, oh, I don't really feel it, but I don't think they're used to feeling like crap. We forget what it's like to feel good. And so women on peptides, it's almost this euphoric, like I will never get off this. Like they feel so good. And that kind of leads me into my favorites are mitochondria peptides. And so you do this stack 3 times a year. And it's SS31 and MOTC. People might have heard of MOTC. It's a little bit more spoken about. But SS31 you'll do for 21 days. And it's like taking your car into the shop. So it's going to work on the whole exterior of your car. So the exterior of the cell. So the zombie cell, the leaky cell. It works on helping strengthen your cells. And so, you know, the powerhouse, your NAD, your DNA, all that kind of stuff needs help. That's where the MOTC comes in and works on the inside and really, really has your energy back, your power back. You feel your cells rebuilding and the energy is wild. And your body thanks you where all of a sudden you're like, gosh, I feel leaner. You are leaner. Your body's working again. And I think we forget to spend so much energy on trying to repair all the damage from our environment, from our stresses that we're putting on ourselves, that it needs additional support. And that's what peptides do. It gives you additional support in our crazy lifestyles.
Yeah, I always say, if you're not feeling well, there's a reason. And it's usually because there is a deficiency, an insufficiency, something in the landscape of your habits or your health that just isn't getting addressed. And to me, that's where I think peptides are so exciting. And so also just something I wanted to say to put it into context and to your point, Stephanie, I was actually on BPC 157 back in 2017.
Oh, look at you, Holly, early adapter.
early. And it was a time in my life when people in my community know this story, but I was living in a moldy apartment for 7 years and I had no idea. It pulled the rug out from underneath me and nearly killed me. And during the years when I was trying to figure out what was going on, thankfully I was introduced to someone back then who was obviously an early adopter out of Texas. And put me on BPC 157 back then. And I was such a mess. I don't know the degree that it helped, but it was funny because like I was just like, okay, I don't even care if a doctor is telling me it's going to help me and make me feel better. I'm here for it. So I used them for a very short period of time and now am just revisiting it as they've been getting more and more popular. But, you know, I think that it's such a crazy emerging science. Another question for you, when we talk about NAD, I know NAD is another one of those buzz supplements right now. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a lot of them being promoted on the internet, NAD, NAD+. Most of them are oral. Some of them are liposomal in a liquid. Talk to me about your NAD. Is yours specifically an injectable, or what is the difference between an oral NAD and an injectable peptide NAD?
So it's a, which is interesting. It's a coenzyme, not a peptide, and not that that totally matters. It just means that the structure of the molecule is different. So it has no acid chain number and it puts it in a different category. But for everyone, it's just much easier to say it's a peptide. In the same sense. So ours is fermented, which is a really good question. And what does that mean? And so when it's fermented, it means it's natural. We go in the lab and it comes in and it actually replaces your NAD, not replaces your NAD, it adds to your NAD. So like if you take an NAD test, which we sell prior to starting, you'll see where your levels are. And then after staying on it, injecting consistently, they will go up. Now, a couple things to answer your questions. What I like about sub-Q injections versus IVs and versus oral, which are very, very radically different ways of trying to get your NAD in, is that if you do these huge niacin rushes, like you'll feel a little bit, but it won't be this like, you hear the stories of people getting IVs where they're sick, it takes 10 hours, and you know this is in your house, you can do it every morning. We have starting low dose up to a higher. I just love the convenience of it, and you actually feel the difference. Especially in women, you really feel the support that it gives you. I'm just going to say this oral does not work. On the oral NADs, you can do the precursors MNN with it. You can try to get your natural NAD up, but you're not going to get air NAD levels up if you're taking it orally. My belief is anything that seems too good to be true usually is. And sometimes the easier route is not necessarily the best route. And so just making sure for all your listeners, just really do your homework. Understand the difference and why someone might be marketing something to you because, oh God, yeah, pill sounds much better than injecting myself. Well, now it might be the same price or just a little bit less. What's the bioavailability of this? Like, is it really going to affect your levels? Are you going to feel a difference? And so I'm just saying, like, always get curious and do your own research. Ours is top of the market. It's very, very popular and it's very, very safe. And so it's something where if someone's like, hey, I feel more comfortable starting with NAD than any other peptide. And like, it's a great place to start because you will feel the difference as you have a more buildup in your body.
I'm so interested in NAD. I think that has like so much promise, which is really exciting. And just to clarify for people, again, if this is a new conversation, when Stephanie said sub-Q, what she means is subcutaneous. That is an injection, but the thing to understand is when you're doing a subcutaneous injection, it's a very small, thin needle. Not that I'm necessarily saying everybody should be doing it and taking it. I'm just really trying to educate people on the process because people hear needle, oh my gosh, that's so scary. This is not intramuscular. This is not a long needle. This is an insulin needle that diabetics use. And so most of these peptides, most of the time are injected subcutaneously, which is just literally just underneath your skin in the fat, in essence.
Needles are scary. You know, I think a lot of people, it's a barrier to entry. And so oftentimes I'll say, well, maybe your partner can first like help you and they can inject it in your glute. You don't have to look at it. And I think eventually people, if you want something bad enough, you start to figure out, okay, how do I make this work for me? And when you go through the coaching, we really talk about the different areas that you can inject. Your inner thigh sometimes is better than people. You want a place that you have some extra little fluff, you know, that makes it a little bit easier. But it is the best way and the most bioavailable way for really any of the peptides, including NAD, is orally. You just have so, for your body has to go through all of the stomach gastric juices, which is designed to break things down. So it's going to break something down before you could ever absorb it. And I wish it wasn't injections, but unfortunately, when it comes to NAD, sub-Q, or if someone wants to do an IV, is the best way to get it in.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the gray area, which I find fascinating, and that is the FDA. Let's talk about this concept, because people hear not for human use, right, when we talk about peptides, and that can be very foreboding and very scary, and I know you and I could talk for an hour just about this topic, but let's talk about, number one, why these are, quote unquote, not for human use, and why this is the type of thing that you don't need a medical doctor for a prescription, and why they are easily available to people. And I also want to hear your early insights in terms of, like, what are we expecting from the FDA down the line?
Okay, I love all these questions. Okay. If I lose track of all of them, let me know what I've missed.
Okay. I threw like 10 of them at you.
I think you know, the FDA, I think people, not, I don't want to say they have a love-hate relationship with it, but obviously it's in place to keep us safe. And I think COVID had people questioning a little bit, kind of where do they play in big pharma and all of this. And I believe that's why peptides are really having its moment, because people are trying to take their health into their own hands. Now, there's a small handful of peptides that are approved by the FDA. You need to also understand is that peptides in their natural state cannot be patented because they're found in our body. So even these GLPs that Big Pharma has patented, they've had to manipulate the GLP to make it a little different than what you find in your body.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
You can't patent all the other peptides. And so there's no real money in them. And that's where that you're getting this kind of like give and take. BPC, for example, is not only not approved by the FDA, it is banned from playing in colleges or whatnot because it actually heals you and it works and it thinks that you're going to have a competitive advantage. Now, what they don't understand is BPC is only in your body for one day and then it's out. So like from a testing standpoint, but it's there to heal you. That's the only competitive advantage that it really gives you. But back to kind of your question with the FDA, the rumor is we're very involved, our partner with MAHA, Make America Healthy Again, and Trump. And the rumor is supposedly 20 to 30 more peptides are going to be FDA approved, which I would welcome all day long. The reason you're finding research-based peptides, which as you said, Holly, you know, you're basically buying them saying like, I'm not gonna use them on myself, is this the workaround right now? And we own facilities with our partner where they're FDA approved facilities, where they only produce peptides that are FDA approved in this facility. We have other compounding facilities that do not produce FDA peptides. They're only research. We are under more scrutiny from the research-based peptides in terms of how many times we're expected. FDA approved peptides only have to be 97% pure. Ours are 99.9% pure. So just because you're hearing, hey, I'm not going to use this on myself, it's scary. I understand that's scary, but it's why it's important to know where are you getting them from and making sure you know they're reputable. You can see their COAs. You can understand kind of where the whole stream of peptides kind of came from, and then you feel good. And that's why I think with the Loop Way and the coaches, we explain all that to you so you feel really safe. But I do tell people, Holly, the only way you will ever, ever know for sure, and this is similar with all your vitamins, any prescription medication you take, unless you're testing it yourself, at some point you're trusting somebody. And we're trusting our doctors when they say, you know, take this antibiotic or this drug where you're watching the Super Bowl and it explains what this drug is and it lists you 50 things that could go wrong, including death as a possibility. But they're still saying, hey, it's FDA approved, but there's a chance you could die taking this. Yet we are conditioned to say, oh, well, our doctor said to take this, so we're going to take this. And I guess when I just say, get curious, ask yourself, does this all make sense? And when you start to think about it, you're like, okay, where am I going to trust? How am I going to trust? How do I feel comfortable? And why am I just taking pills, vitamins included, not knowing where they came from? I mean, all the Amazon pills right now they're saying are fake, and it's scary out there. So in all of it, you just need to ask yourself kind of where do you align in your own healthcare?
Yeah. And to trust a reputable provider, advisor. I've always been such an advocate of that. It's only going to get worse going ahead with the the invention of AI personalities and a lot more fraud. Fraud is getting more sophisticated. And so it's so important to trust in the people who have the credentials that you personally vet out and look to their advice and the brands that they're using. Because definitely, you know, a quick search on peptides in the internet, it's the wild, wild west.
Yes.
So when the FDA approves, let's say, these next 30 peptides, does that then mean you will only be able to get them through prescription through a medical doctor?
No, I think great research peptides will always be around here or there.
Okay.
For my company, we're starting a telehealth, and so we'll do a lot through our telehealth. Mm-hmm. And you have a little bit more red tape, but
yeah,
I'm all for it. Like, I would way rather the FDA approve them.
For sure.
And we can get them to you easily. We are making the telehealth super easy. So it's not, but research peptides will always be mm-hmm. there. I think what really, two things that really scare me, Holly, is one is it's the opposite. If they start really going hard, shutting down peptides from a research perspective, horses left the stables. I mean, the general public is saying, these are great. I know what you guys are doing.
For sure.
It's going to make the black market even scarier. It's going to really turn into the Wild West and coming from China. And so I do think Washington knows that like, listen, this is getting a little out of control. I mean, if you go on social media, I'm sorry if that's your algorithm, that's all you're going to see.
It's crazy.
And so I do think they understand that piece. And that actually makes me very hopeful. And I think that's why they're looking to approve more, is that it will be a way to kind of slow down the research-based peptides, get them in places where they can be made, where people feel safe, everyone feels safe. We'll see. I mean, sometimes you don't hold your breath on things. But the other second thing I want to talk about, and I've been talking about this a lot because I'm finding this with my clients and it's very scary. And it's a reason why, even if you as a listener don't want to ever do a peptide, it's really important to get educated, because guess who they're getting marketed to? Our children.
Oh, I know. I know.
At 18, you can go online and buy a GLP if you want to. You can go on and buy CJC Epimorlin, mm-hmm. which is a growth hormone peptide that an 18-year-old boy would love to get their hands on to get bigger. And if you don't know what your kids are doing and talking about, then you can't educate them and be helpful. And if you don't think the sororities and fraternities right now on college campuses are flooded, they're getting marketed to. So that's a whole nother conversation. But I always, now when I am speaking, I want to speak on it, because I do feel like I have a responsibility to let parents know, like, hey, you got to wake up. The future is, I hate to say it, AI and peptides. And so you need to be having these conversations with your children, even asking them, hey, do you know what this is? Because chances are they're going to say yes. And if you look at their Instagram feed or their TikTok feed, it's everywhere.
Yeah. I'm so glad you said that, because that's one of those things where I think women, maybe let's say our age with children, whether they're teenagers or a little bit older, this is my demographic. You know, those kids are so fast and they learn and get exposed to things so quickly. And I think I agree with you. That's the type of thing that, like, your kid could even say to you, I'm taking peptides. And if you don't know what it is, right, it's like you don't really even understand what they're getting into. So I think that's such an important thing to the moms listening, and or of course dads, but my audience is mostly men. If you've got teenagers or kids in college, I think it's worth, just as you said, asking them, hey, are your friends taking peptides? What have you heard about peptides? Because, you know, it does appear that we don't have a lot of adverse reactions, we have adverse reactions, but there's no real danger to them. There aren't any real documented toxicity issues, it appears to me. But like, I wouldn't want my daughter taking a weight loss drug or anything that's growth hormone related, especially if they're around the age of 18. I just think that's questionable. So
when I also, you think, you know, if they're buying it themselves, they're looking for the cheapest thing possible.
Yep.
And they don't know the dosage. So when it does get dangerous, it's when you are sourcing something from China or someone that has other fillers in it. If something is usually really affordable, there's a reason for it. And then they're just going on and guessing their own dosage. And peptides are also they're individual. One size does not fit all.
Yeah.
So the scary thing for me, and I've got two daughters, like if my daughter, like we are having this conversation, she's 17, she asks for a GLP, she's got friends on GLPs. And the answer is no, and I explain to her why, but I have her on oral BPC and it's helped her gut and her inflammation so much and her skin. So it's not to say that, like, I don't think my 17-year-old can benefit from some peptides. and educating them on them. But I know, because I just actually last night when I spoke, there were two girls who had just graduated from college, and they said they're their only friends in their sorority that weren't on a GLP.
Oh my gosh.
So the pressure is going to be there. And if your child isn't feeling it now, they're going to feel it when they're not in your home. And to me, that's even scarier. It's like the alcohol conversation, right? And the sex conversation when they go to college.
Totally.
Unfortunately, it's going to have to be a peptide conversation.
Yeah. And to underscore, this isn't that peptides are dangerous or bad for younger people. They could actually be very beneficial. It's yes. that you want your child educated, working with a doctor or a trusted medical professional, or at least be in conversation with you, because it is easy to get them wrong. And you do want to make sure that you're, if a child has a health symptom, an issue, an autoimmune condition, a gut issue,
yeah.
and is having health issues, like that could be a really wonderful solution, which is why I wanted to have this conversation with you today, because I'm excited about them. I'm hopeful. I hope that we can educate the world. I hope that they are as good and as effective as they appear to be. I personally hope the FDA stays out of it, honestly.
It'll get expensive. I mean, there's all the stuff behind it.
Yeah.
But you know, Holly, I think to your point, and I would love to let listeners know, is that when teenagers, I'd say in their late teens, are getting on them, oftentimes it's they're getting off of their SSR, off of anxiety medicine, and like getting on a peptide called CMAX. And all of a sudden they're telling their mom they can go to school without anxiety and they can take a test. And that to me is like, wow, would you rather them be on a pharmaceutical drug, or would you rather them be on a amino acid chain that's already found in your body that helps your brain?
Exactly. Exactly.
So that's the questions you start asking. Personally, like I'll tell the story. My daughter is on medicine right now for her ADHD. And our plan is this summer is she's going off of it. And we are going to try peptides and supplement and see where we go with it. And
that's amazing.
Those are where peptides, I think, get really exciting when you're going like, what would you rather have as a stimulant to your child? Like,
yeah.
If they're having issues with anxiety and brain and whatnot, which happens a lot, unfortunately, nowadays, and there are peptides that can really, really work with that. And so that's where I'm hopeful, is that people, when they are curious and open-minded, it's like, wow, these things are great. And they could, your child could be on it for, if they wanted to, the rest of their life and feel safe about it, versus taking a pill for the rest of your life that's changing the chemical makeup of your brain.
Totally. Absolutely. Oh, Stephanie, thank you so much.
Yeah.
This was so interesting. I'm sure it's going to start a big conversation in my community, which I'm excited about. I know that people can learn more by coming to your website, startwithloop.com/Holly. And that's going to let you know they came from my community. Where else can we hear more from you?
Yeah. And if you ever want to do like a live Zoom together or whatnot, and they want to come with more questions, I'm happy to do whatever I can to support your community, because I'm all about,
I love that,
linking arms with like-minded women, and we can definitely do more together. So that's my 2026.
I love it. Deal. So if you listened closely, you heard both Stephanie and me say that peptides are a tool that really should be considered after you've got your habits and practices dialed in. Listen, peptides are not a magic bullet, even though they can be super helpful. But I will always say that you can accomplish so much and transform your body in crazy ways just through strategic nutrition and smart strength training. If you're newer to strength training, or you've started with one of my programs, you might notice that the bathroom scale goes up a little bit in the early phase. Podcast episode 84, If the Scale Goes Up When Strength Training, Here's Why and How to Fix It, will explain what's actually happening inside of your body and how to manage or even reduce the scale-related weight fluctuations that come when you start a new strength training program. You'll want to check out that episode next by coming over to my website, hollyperkins.com/blog, and then enter the word scale in the search function on that page to find the episode. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and stay tuned for another brand new one on Tuesday of next week. Stay strong, my friend. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. I am so happy that you're here, and I hope you loved it. If you did, please take a moment to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review. And if you want more from me, check out my blog and coaching programs over at hollyperkins.com. That's all for now. I'll see you next week.